Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Spanish Influenza, the Ebola Virus, Joey Devine, H1N1, the Swine Flu, the Black Death, Sean Keane, Typhus, Hansen's disease, that's leprosy, Joey. Patreons, Barrett Baldelli, thank you, Barrett. Ian Spick, thank you, Ian. Dave Dufour, also the special guest today, thank you, Dave. Special guest, James Kirkland, author of the Bill Walton Mysteries. Musical guest, Anthrax, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and you heard, that's right, you heard Don Pardo right. We've got two special guests today. First off, we've got my friend, my co-host, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
Good. I'm recording this from the middle of an empty gym.
Oh, that is...
I broke into a middle school, Joey.
But we also have with us here to talk some news, our good friend, our Patreon, Dave Dufour.
Yeah,
Dave, how you doing?
a couple of things. First of all, I appreciate that Sean is breaking the terms of his probation in order to mimic Jimmy Butler. That's... very noble. And also, I love how you make me sound like a fat cat who bought his way onto the show.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even give you real credits. From The Athletic, from the Nerder She Wrote podcast, one of the only good nerd basketball based podcasts. We are the other one.
I was gonna say, hold on. Now we're at different ends of the nerd spectrum.
Oh,
but
for sure.
Are there other nerd podcasts?
Oh, all of them are nerd podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, Coach Dave Dufour. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm good, man.
Are you self quarantined yet?
You know, actually, I don't. You know, not to make light of it, but I did go to Sloan last weekend, mm-hmm. and yeah, my wife and I actually had that conversation, and so I am sort of. Yeah, kind of self-quarantining. Like, I mean, not to again, I'm not making light of it, but
of course,
I'm gonna wait a couple days before I do anything. And I actually have decided I won't be attending NBA games or NCAA tournament games for at least a month. Like, I'm not doing any of that stuff because it is serious, and so I would like to follow the advice of the experts that have studied mm-hmm. epidemiology for a long time instead of, you know, not doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Dave, what do you think about me buying a plane ticket to Italy for late August?
Okay. I actually think that's a fantastic idea. you know, there, if you're paying attention, it's like 3 to 7 months, right? That they're right. really, really worried about this first swing through. You know, and Italy's getting it early. So, you know, I mean, if you're, you know, if you guys trade on the stock market at all, this is nothing different than what billionaires do every single day, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, making a bet on the market. And actually, you're making a positive bet too, because you're betting that Italy is going to get their shit under control.
Yeah, I'm betting on Italy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And you're ready there to get there to help them recover.
Exactly. Yeah.
Public service, really. It's like almost, you almost can't justify not doing it.
Right. Like, I'm helping the wine industry, the service industry,
the pasta industry,
the crumbling statue industry. This is the Gabagool industry.
It's Gabagool. But that's actually not to get Italian. That's an Italian American thing.
Yeah.
It's specifically like New Jersey, Philadelphia, Italian American.
That's what Italy's like, Joey.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. You're right.
That's where Furio is from.
I should also mention off the top here just some business. Round Rock Pod at Round Rock Pod on Twitter. roundrockpod@gmail.com. If you want to email us, give us 5-star reviews on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. patreon.com/roundrockpod, where we finally had our second episode of our brand new Golden State Warriors podcast, Watching Wiggins, in which Sean and I both learned to love the basketball of Andrew Wiggins and maybe learn a little bit about each other. Also, later on in the episode, we're going to have an interview with author James Kirkland, who is the author of the Bill Walton Mysteries series. And it is a real great interview, so stick around for that. But first, let's get serious. Let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, our first piece of news, guys, is about the virus. We talked about it a little bit already. The virus is changing everyone's plans constantly. There's no telling what's going to happen with the virus. But the first thing that happened is our man... Golden State Warriors owner Joe Lacob, the city of San Francisco told him to not have a game tonight because it would endanger their citizens. And Sean, what did Joe Lacob say?
Well, let me just give you Joe Lacob he just said no. He said no.
Yeah,
they had
right.
the game.
That's what I mean. He said no. Yeah.
So the corrupt pre-indictment San Francisco Mayor London Breed.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get into this, she took thousands of dollars in gifts from a corrupt politician. I'm not going to blame her for also dating that corrupt politician. Just like I'm not blaming Kamala Harris for dating former Mayor Willie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in San Francisco, you're going to date a shitty guy. Like, that's how it works in that city.
She released
recommendations Friday about closing non-essential large gatherings, such as concerts, sporting events, conventions, or large community events. However, this game between the Clippers and the Warriors was deemed essential mm-hmm. by Joe Lacob, who made his fortune trading medical stocks.
Yeah, now let's ask Dave a question here. Dave, you've been telling us about the coronavirus for longer than the news, I would say.
Like you knew about it in advance.
Yeah, privately, yeah.
This is the wrong podcast.
And you know more about basketball than us. So question, was the Golden State Warriors versus the Los Angeles Clippers game tonight essential?
I mean, yes, to a certain degree for the Golden State Warriors, because it essentially, you know, it got them out of the playoffs, right? So they can stop pretending like they care. Then if they don't run Steph out there again, nobody cares.
I care.
But to the world,
I care, Dave.
No. To the world, no. Like, I have this issue with a lot of things that are basketball and basketball adjacent. You know, I hate Ball is Life. Not the brand, but the saying. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like that at all.
Do you like when, like, an 8-year old wears a shirt with, like, a faceless muscle man on it and it says, like, you better come hard in the paint or don't come at all?
Yes, when it's a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Right? But when it's, a 40-year-old, no. Like, get a life. I think that one of the things that gets lost quite a bit is that this is just basketball. And I don't care about billionaires' monies. You know, I'm not counting their money. And I really don't care about it. So just cancel this shit. But the truth is, everyone has free will. You don't have to go to those games. It just seems that we can't stop ourselves from doing dumb stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. So they should have canceled the game. But also people can, you know, they can self-isolate as well. And so a little bit of that personal responsibility could go a long way here on multiple fronts.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question about the coronavirus?
Yes.
Say you're not exposed to the coronavirus because you've been hiding, you've been self-quarantining in, say, hypothetically, as a wine cellar in the basement era of a fancy NBA arena. Mm-hmm. But your blood boy may have been exposed to the coronavirus. Should you stop juicing your blood with the platelets of a younger, healthier man?
It's viral, so you definitely do not want to do that.
Mm. Okay.
So it's viral, like, how many retweets does it have?
It's like, is it like half the highlights?
That really is
worldwide wob.
You know, it's funny. It's kind of like the only viral that the NBA is really wrapping their head around right now. Yeah. My expectation is that probably by the time you get this show edited and released, they will have said they're playing in empty gyms. That's almost there, right? But you still are talking like, I mean, what are they traveling with? Every team? Are they really going to go down to like 25 people? That's still a lot of people. Are they going to self-quarantine so that they don't become infected? Are they going to test everyone? Are they going to test all the players? We can't even get tests for people who are exhibiting symptoms. How are they going to know which players have it and which players don't? What if the Lakers have been exposed to it and LeBron has it? He's positive. And then they go and play.
He's getting older.
They're going to play the Orlando Magic. Now, all of a sudden, you've taken it to Orlando.
Well, I'm going to say right now, if you tested LeBron's blood right now, it probably would test positive for something, but I don't know if it's coronavirus.
MVP trophies.
Tacos. Yeah. I'm talking, there's so many tacos in his blood.
Three letters.
Just this wine. I think he had 2 glasses of wine after that Clippers game. That's a problem.
So I just, you know, we can all sit at home for a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, hopefully, right? Like, as long as the people that control the purse strings of the country do the right thing, which I know we can't count on them to do. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, like, we could all sit at home for a month. There's plenty of good stuff on Netflix. Turner will take the time to fix League Pass. Maybe it'll throw up classic games on League Pass. Mm-hmm. So you can go back and watch all the stuff, or just show good stuff on NBA TV. I just, this is not difficult. And every expert in the world is saying we need to do one thing. And it's not even because we can stop the spread. It's here. It's going to spread. The truth is, we got to do it so that we don't run out of hospital beds, so that the people that are really sick can actually get treatment, and we don't have, you know, 500,000 people die in the next 3 or 4 months.
Hey,
so the NBA should just cancel these fucking games.
I will say, Dave, look, the Joe Lacob and the Chase Center did do their due diligence. They posted a really shitty sign that said, "Do not enter if in the last 2 weeks you have bullet point experienced fever, tiredness, dry cough, aches and pains, nasal congestion, runny nose, sore throat, or diarrhea. Or, second bullet point, travel to any location subject to level 1, 2, or 3 travel health notice by the CDC, such as Iran, China, Italy, South Korea, Japan, or Hong Kong." So, I'm pretty sure no one who was there tonight got exposed to anything. Don't worry about it, Dave.
Also, Joey, it said that people were by walking past the sign, people agreed not to sue the Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Very tight. Super cool. Love it.
Yeah. So
remember, folks, remember to wash your hands after you cover your ass.
Yeah. So
I recycled that joke, by the way.
Should we talk about the potential playoffs of this? Yeah.
Well, no. What we need to talk about right now is what Woj just tweeted, which is the NBA is discussing possibly moving games in affected areas to neutral sites or places without outbreaks. So the
well, they're trying to help the coronavirus.
Exactly. Get it over with, they they want to barnstorm. Like the old original professional ABA. Basketball, but instead of you know, showing off the sport, they want to show off the beautiful coronavirus that is coursing through everyone's veins.
Now the sad thing is that Seattle is not a safe area, right? Isn't Spokane a bad area for corona right now?
No, Seattle, it's all of that is terrible. That's basically the epicenter currently of, but I also saw a thing that they might have the most cases only because there was one doctor who's been testing and the federal government told her to stop and she didn't stop.
So I'm just saying it. Yeah. Oh, gotcha. I'm just saying it's gotta be tough that Seattle will not get professional basketball.
Well, don't worry, Sean. I saw multiple people tweet about how this means Seattle could get basketball back tonight. And I was like, oh, lots of basketball people do not follow the news at all.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe that they're going to be holding an NCAA, supposedly going to be having an NCAA regional in Spokane. I do not think that will be happening.
I don't think anything's happening. My guess is that the NCAA winds up canceling the tournament.
Dude, that's so crazy.
They're like, none of these teams are that great.
But there's just no justification to be made to play the games, period, in particular for the NCAA.
Because you're taking 68 teams definitively from all over the country, and then...
And kids. Like, it's not like you're in control of what they're doing during their off time. NBA players, like, you pretty much can account for them. Not that you're in control, but, like, it's not hard to guess where these guys have been. You know, go and swab all the strip clubs in Houston and Atlanta. You know, like, just... We know where they go.
Mm-hmm. Mostly...
The Cheesecake Factory.
I will say, yeah, the Cheesecake Factory, but I will say the safest team is for sure the Minnesota Timberwolves because they've just been playing Fortnite all night since Jimmy Butler left.
Yeah. I just...
They've been self-quarantining for years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they've locked themselves in the basement, you know, the standings.
Gordon Hayward, safe. We know he's safe from Corona, right?
His wife makes him take a dip in a bathtub full of Purell a couple times a day
to get the Gamergate off of him. All right. Yeah. Oh, no. But they're going to play these games to empty stadiums, right? That's what's going to happen? Or you think they're going to cancel games?
That's where we're going to start. I do believe, again, it's irresponsible to do it at all. I think they'll be playing in empty arenas next week. Yes. And ultimately, I think they wind up pushing the season back. I just don't see any way around it. You either cancel or you push it back.
I mean, here's a question. Coming off of the China revenue stuff, shouldn't they just cancel it and call the whole season a wash? Like, just be like, we've lost all this money anyway. Let's just.
But then you're doubling down and you're actually like losing more, right? Like, the TV stuff matters.
Yeah. No, and it's too.
You have to fulfill the commitment. I mean, of course, ESPN and TNT would be involved in whatever decisions made, but.
Yeah.
Or Turner, not TNT, but
it's hard to make good on that,
right?
Especially given that a lot of owners are fairly leveraged, it seems like.
I just hope someone thinks of the bloggers in all this, you know, like how you know, the content minds are going to run dry.
You know what? Content Brilliant. Will never run dry. Round Ball rocks, baby. We can do this all day because you know why? We barely talk about basketball as it is.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of podcasts like that.
So,
not all of them are funny.
Should we go through and see and look at those empty gym matchups?
Jimmy? Yes, let's operate under the idea that these teams are playing in empty gyms, and let's decide who has home court advantage in the playoffs. Right, Sean? That's what we want to do.
And we'll just, should we just go through the matchups?
Yeah, let's do the matchups.
Let me just double check. Atlanta is not the 8 seed, right?
Unfortunately not. They should be the 1 seed considering they're just listening to Sir Foster play anyway, so.
Is he? Yeah, that's the only guy who's got to be there.
Quarantine Sir Foster.
Okay. So we got Bucks, Nets.
Okay.
Oh, man. I think the Nets have the home court advantage there.
I do, too.
Well, because the thing is, they've just been, first of all, they have hipster fans in general, but also they've been spending so much time trying to tune out Kyrie Irving all season that they're almost playing, they're used to playing without using, like, relying on sound. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things. First, a lot of people still think they're in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Including people that live in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Second, you mentioned they have a lot of hipster fans. And you know how hipsters love to tell you about the weather in New York in, like, April and May?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they're going to be inside. No way.
Yeah.
If we're taking them at face value.
All right, what's our next matchup, Sean?
We've got the Toronto Raptors and the Orlando Magic.
Easy, Orlando. Like,
yeah, Jurassic Park's way too wild.
But even so, like, they'll just be happy a DeVos isn't seeing them in person. You know what I mean? Just
yeah. Like, there's no one good. Like even Tiger Woods going to a game is kind of creepy for them.
Yeah, just like giving them their Crypt Keeper eyes while they're playing basketball. Fultz can finally play free for the first time in his damn life.
Mickey Mouse being a weirdo with his courtside seats.
What do you think what would they do with Jurassic Park? I mean, it's closed, I guess, but have like the inflatable Raptor there. Is that where Drake gets to watch the game? You know what?
This is actually my question. If they're going to play these games in an empty gym, do they still have the mascot come around?
Yeah.
Oh, there will be no game ops. So there'll be no music. Maybe like the Lakers, LeBron's going to put on a playlist, you know?
Dave, are you excited a little bit for there to be a basketball game with no music or crowd events?
Can't believe you're doing this to me, Sean. Okay.
Like you're a little bit excited. Not for the outbreak, but just for the telecast to see what it's like.
Yes. I will admit that there is a part of me that really wants to see what it's like. Now, remember, in my original rant against the in-arena music, it is about not having that real fan experience, the fans getting excited, following the action, things like that. Because I do think that really makes a difference. And in my trip to Serbia, that's like the thing that I always go back to, is how into every possession those people were. Mm-hmm. So with that caveat in mind, oh man, this will be like being a fly on the wall in, you know, some of the highest level pickup games you could think of. I hope they lean into it, add a like minute delay, and mic up every single player.
That's what they should do.
Yeah.
Mic up every.
Yeah. And you know what?
Kill the mics when the ball is dead. Okay. Because I don't want to put those guys in the position where they can't, you know, because they need a little bit of privacy to just do the things that they do, right? Catch up. I don't want to hear coach strategy or any of that. But when the ball is live, let me hear everything.
I do want to hear the coach strategy. Just who cares, man? Every team knows what everybody's running. They all know. Like, we're not talking about the Astros here. Just, like, make it a full-on TV show. And you know what? Silver lining, they'd probably figure out a better televised product.
I was just about to say, I feel like if you had this thing where the players are mic'd up, right? Mm-hmm. And you just, while the action's going, we can hear them. There's a good chance that that would start being a special event that would be baked into the TV deals. It would be that big. Hear LeBron. Listen, the other night I watched LeBron against the Clippers. He dribbles the ball up court, didn't like the play they had called, and he literally used his fingers like you're playing pickup with blind people, and he pointed to every single dude that he was playing with where to go and was barking instructions, and they wound up getting a KCP layup out of it, which is incredible. Okay, he diagrammed a play on the court, told everyone where to go, told the Clippers where they were all going to go, and still got a bucket out of it. I want to hear that process.
Can you believe how disappointed Greg Popovich would be that this could be the year he'd be in the playoffs with no sideline reporter?
Oh, no media whatsoever.
He's just like, ah.
I mean,
I just hope they get Tibbs to call the game again from that closet he was hiding in when this summer. I guess we have to play that now. Hold on.
And I think that's a good point. He's been through it before. Great offensive rebound there. Good extra pass.
Harris.
Wide open three.
Barnes knocks down the three.
All right. Sean,
Steve Jabby also completely safe.
Yeah. Oh, Steve Jabby's been in that
room for 5 years.
Steve Jabby's been in that hole in the ground from Lost since he retired as a ref. He's the healthiest man on earth.
He has to push that button all the time.
You don't know this about Steve Jabby, but under the like just below the line of sight of the camera, he's wearing Kleenex boxes on his feet, and there are jars of his urine cataloged all around him, like Howard Hughes. Sean, what's our next playoff matchup?
The Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. God, what a wretched hive of humanity has been banned from both those arenas.
So can the Boston Garden like somehow pipe in pre-recorded chants from the Celtics chant Twitter account?
Oh, yeah, no. Everyone should follow that at Celtics Chance.
Yeah. Follow at Celtics Chance. Do you want to know what the latest at Celtics Chant tweet was?
Oh, please. The newest tweet is from June 6, 2012. Quote, good job, good effort.
So, yeah, it's good job, good effort. Can they pipe that in? Good job, good effort. Good job, good effort. Either way, I'm taking the Sixers.
Look, I was going to say, the Sixers.
No one's going to throw batteries at them.
Yeah, they get the advantage. No, like, there's nothing worse than being booed at home, you know? Like, when my wife does it, it's awful. And I can tell you from experience, yeah. The Sixers will play up. Ben Simmons will shoot threes. With no fans.
Shoot a three, you coward.
Actually, he won't shoot threes. No, I am completely wrong, because the only time he shoots threes is when the crowd goats him into it. So, yeah.
All right, Sean, what's our next? What's our next matchup?
The Miami Heat and the Indiana Pacers.
Ooh, this is a tough one. Because right. The Heat are so used to getting encouragement from Jimmy Buffett on the sideline.
Right. And Flo Rida's manager, I believe, is also involved. I think this is going to help the Miami Heat actually focus. Because I think I just feel like this team has a pretty horny vibe already. Mm-hmm. And I think that just like not being distracted by a Miami crowd might help them play a little more consistently.
You know what? That's a great point, Sean.
You know what, though? I think you're not thinking about how they perform right now. Remember, this is a good first quarter team. Nobody shows up to those games in the first quarter. Mm. They're already used to it. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
All right,
they play their best basketball in front of no one.
You've convinced me, Dave.
That's why their home record's so good. Yeah.
All right, Sean. Well, and then the other thing about the Pacers is without that crowd there, the coaches won't be forced to play TJ McConnell.
Yeah, or TJ Leaf, actually. Yeah. Either one. It's like Bill Russell's Celtics going on the road. You know, they could finally play their five best players at once.
All right, Sean, let's do the Western Conference real quick.
Okay, so we got Lakers, and right now Lakers and Grizzlies.
I mean, this is a hard one because on one hand, Anthony Davis is used to playing to a lackluster crowd, right?
Right, right.
But on the other hand, I think Ja is one of those young guys that really feeds off a crowd. You know what I mean?
And I think Rajon Rondo, noted germaphobe, is going to really be able to relax in this situation.
Except
too.
If they're miking all the players up, Rajon Rondo is going to be very afraid he's going to out someone again. Because he's the worst person on earth.
Yeah, he's a terrible guy.
Yeah.
Avery Bradley is going to be excited about a lack of witnesses as well, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the Lakers, right?
Yeah, I think it's the Lakers. No one out on the streets because of coronavirus. Nobody, you know, trying to get to the arena.
Well, and
they'll arrive on time. They won't have to deal with traffic.
Well, and plus they turn the lights down on the crowd anyway, so it's not like they're looking at the crowd that much anyway. They're kind of used to it.
Just turn the music up.
All right, Sean.
Put a cardboard cutup of Jack Nicholson out there. It'd be fine.
All right, Sean, what's next?
Clippers and Mavericks.
This one's easy. This one's super easy. It's the Clippers.
Yeah.
And it's because maybe if they finally play a game without a crowd, Doc Rivers' voice will finally come back.
Yeah.
Because he won't have
to. What do you think, Joey? Yeah.
Guys, I look, I feel for that man. That's exactly how I sound after a game. Coaching a game. Sounding.
Oh, yeah, but have you sounded like that for 22 years straight?
Except not. Have you seen Uncut Gems yet, Sean?
No.
Okay, so there's a point in Uncut Gems where they cut to the locker room.
Oh.
And you only hear Doc Rivers' voice giving the speech. And at the time, I was like, oh, this is like the worst Doc Rivers impersonator I've ever heard. Because he has like a regular voice. And then I stayed for the credits, and it says in the credits, Doc Rivers as Doc Rivers. So really what happened is that Clippers team is what's done it to his voice, dude.
Oh, if Chris Paul did it, yeah.
It's screaming at Chris and Blake and his son.
That's what happened. It was Austin got back on the team, and it was just like he couldn't keep it together anymore. And that's why he had to trade his own son away. Also, the Mavericks are uniquely equipped to deal with this virus because of how much disinfectant they already had to spray around the team offices after the Pants DJ was finally fired.
All right, what's the next one, Sean?
The Denver Nuggets and the Houston Rockets.
This one's a tough one. Because Russell Westbrook is always screaming at fans. So he's going to be, but I can't tell if it like feeds him or not, you know what I mean? Or if he gets distracted. But also they're not going to have to, they might feel less pressure to, you know, not shoot 2 for 27 from three in the fourth quarter of a game.
This is the thing. Like, this is almost like the ideal Houston Rockets experiment. Like, you know, they always say, like, they're the best team on paper, theoretically. Right. Well, this is like essentially playing in a clean room, right? Like, they're, I think it actually benefits the Nuggets because the Rockets would feel too much pressure from that.
I don't know. Doof, what do you think?
I mean, the Rockets are another team that often is playing in front of next to no one. Mm-hmm. But then you've got the elevation factor. You gotta factor that in, you know. I feel like the Denver might still have an advantage.
Well, Denver also has fans, but they're stoned, so they're not totally following the game.
Oh man, you know what? No contact high for the opposition.
Yeah,
gotta give it to Houston.
Yeah,
Houston's gonna win that series.
Well, let's be honest though. I think certain Houston Rockets players might be a little tolerant to the hot boxing going on in the Denver arenas.
I will say, if this virus is a sign of the end times, then the demon horse that guards the Denver airport, prophecy says he will awaken and begin his reign over the Mile High City. So just keeping that in mind.
What a mean thing to say about John Elway. All right. what's next, John?
Oh my god, this is the, I feel like just mentioning this series will automatically call someone's manager and file a complaint. It's the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Wow.
I gotta think OKC.
Why?
They benefit more.
Yeah, you know, because they can play Rudy Gobert off the court.
Yeah. Well, they also are pumping in crowd noise anyway, so I think probably...
Oh, yeah, fair point.
That's fair.
Also...
And the Utah Jazz, I think, are probably the most wretched opposing fans in the NBA.
What I was going to say is I think Utah just doesn't play the same when Mitt Romney's not there, so...
That's true. What if Mitt's the only one who's allowed to go? It's Mitt, like, he was the lone man who stood up to Trump and the Republican Party. He's the lone man that gets to go to these games.
Who's OKC's famous fan?
That guy that shot bullets at Kevin Durant's house or whatever. That guy who owns a bar. The guy who fought Draymond. Oh, it's Bill Hader, actually. That's their famous
fan. Well, I think Wayne Coyne is estranged from the team. Is that right?
I believe that's the case, yes.
Wayne Coyne is definitely the most famous person who's been to a lot of Thunder games.
Yeah, but
they just didn't like that he cheered for everybody.
Bill Hader is their famous fan.
That's it. I forgot.
Yeah.
What if it was just Wayne Coyne and Mitt Romney sitting side by side, even though the rest of the arena was empty?
Mitt Romney, fresh off his APAC trip.
Yeah, he'd infect. I don't know if Wayne Coyne can get coronavirus. I'm going to be honest. I think
he's been spending a lifetime building up immunity to a lot of things. Yeah. What if he's there? Nobody gets coronavirus, but just from being next to Wayne Coyne, Mitt Romney gets crabs.
I was going to say, what if Wayne Coyne dosed Mitt Romney?
He's gonna see the Angel Maroney.
All right. Is there any other news we want to talk about with Dave?
Can we talk about Kenny Atkinson just real fast?
Yeah, we haven't talked about it on the show yet. Dave, you want to talk about Kenny Atkinson real fast?
Sure.
Dave.
What?
So my interpretation of this was that ostensibly he was fired by Sean Marks, but actually he was fired by Kyrie Irving, being backed up by vice president of their friendship, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, the quote from Shams and Alex Schiffer today was from DaveDufour's TheAthletic.com. was KD and Kyrie never connected with Kenny Atkinson, and there was a belief they did not have interest in playing for him when the Nets are whole again next season.
Yeah, but they didn't play for him.
That's
right?
My question.
Of course not.
I have also never connected with a boss at a job I've never worked for.
Yeah. Everyone should have known he was a lame dunk coach, right?
Mm-hmm. Even though he had, yeah.
Getting him through this year, I didn't expect him to get fired. I don't think the Nets expected to fire him. I'm certain that they expected to do it during the summer.
Right. That sounded like a Joe Tsai thing to me, that he kind of did it on his own.
Jumped the
like,
gun.
Talked to the players and then fired him immediately.
Jump in the gun, right?
Yeah.
The plan was you at least get through the rest of the year with the money that you've paid, and then you figure something out. He should have known. I mean, I'm sure he did know that he was on his way out when they signed those guys.
Well, and the ownership changed too. Like his his immediate boss didn't change, but the big boss did.
Right. And that's a guy who probably hasn't gotten enough credit for what he's done to get the team to the point where they seemed like a good enough franchise to be able to sign guys like that. Because I'm sorry, but building a nice new practice facility, that's not enough. You know, you got to show.
Think it is.
No,
that's
you got to show.
Me.
Yeah, you got to show some competence on the court, right? If this was still a team winning 14 games, you're not signing Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. So I think.
I don't know.
And I don't want to sound like the guy who's like, you know, Mr. Coach guy supporting the coach, but the truth is, he did a really good job. You don't get the development that they got out of those players without good leadership on the coaching staff. And he's known as that guy who's good as a development guy. Of course, he might just be a development guy, and we don't know. I don't know how anyone would know because he hasn't had a chance to actually compete with the team. The team that he took to the playoffs last year was gutted in order to, you know, make a team that didn't have its two highest paid, maybe two best players for the entire season, and he's still making the playoffs. So you can't say he did a bad job, is what I'm getting.
You know what this really kind of reminds me of, just overall, is the Orlando Magic team in 99-2000, where they're it's the year where they're ready to just clear space and try to get Duncan and McGrady and Grant Hill, and they get 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. But they have this like great scrappy team under Doc Rivers, and they, you know, they play really hard, and then they just gut the entire team that year. And I think they even got rid of, they had like 3 or 4 first round picks, and they got rid of all of those except Mike Miller too. And, Doc Rivers did last a little longer than that, but it still at the same time felt like we spent all this time building this team culture and getting these kind of unheralded guys to play their asses off. And then we got rid of half of them.
Right. Right.
Well, stars are the ones that define the culture, though, right? Isn't that actually
it.
What happens?
Kind of. Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially when you're. But I mean, yeah. I mean, you're bringing in these guys too, so it's like,
you surrendered your team, right?
Exactly.
And that was implied when they signed the deal, is that they were going to be empowered. And we're all in support of player empowerment, or at least I am to a certain degree, because I actually have limits on how much power I think players should have. Just kind of almost for their own good, because we've just seen it not work out so often.
See, I think Kyrie Irving in particular should get all 48 laws of power. But only Kyrie.
I mean, listen, you get the power that you can negotiate for. You feel like he can negotiate for that? I mean, I guess he is, you know, one of the VPs of the Players Association now, so maybe.
I also think it's amazing that after this happened, people were saying like, yeah, they didn't start DeAndre Jordan. That was always going to be a problem. I'm still just baffled that DeAndre Jordan is this key man in this situation, that everyone is acting like the Nets have a big three and DeAndre Jordan is like the all important, third part.
When he's the guy who was starting over him is clearly better.
Yeah, yeah. Like DeAndre Jordan has been like clearly unequivocally declining for 2 years at least. But it's like that was the unpardonable sin. They thought they might be able to stand Kenny Atkinson. But then he put DeAndre Jordan there.
And see, that lets me know that he knew he was out this summer.
Oh,
and he just got fed up.
And he was like, Durant's not even playing. Kyrie's not trying.
Well, fuck Kyrie's it. I'm not. Been hurt yeah, all like, year.
I mean, but they've been terrible when he played.
Right. So. Well, I think that's our portion with Dave. Hey, Dave, thanks for coming on, man. Do it whenever you want.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'll just start calling in on Skype. Just make sure you use this call and I can hop right in.
Oh, yeah, we can always do that.
Perfect.
What would you like to plug, Dave?
Nothing.
I'll do it for you. Nerder, yeah, she wrote, is on the back-to-back feed. And also available on the Athletic and podcast.
You know what?
Platform.
I will interrupt you to plug the show we just did from Sloan, which was excellent. Had like a great drop in. We talked about, I don't know, 40 different things. And that was actually a really, really fun, good show. Not that they all aren't fun, but that one in particular, maybe just because it was the most recent one, though.
Awesome. Yeah, that's called recency bias, you fucking nerds. that's uncalled for.
Yeah, it's unscientific. A lot of gut feeling there. Eye test or ear test, as it were.
Actually, now I'm liking the sound of that.
All right, now we've talked about sad and scary things, firings, emptiness. Quarantines, but luckily there's something that makes me happy anytime I think about it, and it's a combination of mystery novels, reading, and Bill Walton. And luckily, to bring us up, here's an interview we did with the author of Fire on the Mountain, the second in the Bill Walton mystery series, James Kirkland. It's available for purchase right now on Amazon, and I highly recommend it. Here's Sean and I talking to James Kirkland. We're here with James Kirkland. Oh man, that what an NPR Hello. Intro from Joey. James is an actor, a screenwriter, and now a Portland native, we should also point out, living in Los Angeles, who now is more importantly the author of currently, I believe, the only mystery NBA-themed book series, The Bill Walton Mysteries. Last year, Friend of the Devil came out. That's about Bill Walton and Dave Pasch solving a kidnapping in Seattle. And now, is it out? Is Fire on the Mountain out yet, James, or is it?
March 10th. Fire on the Mountain drops March 10th. Yeah.
The Bill Walton Mysteries.
So next week.
Yeah. Series 2, Fire on the Mountain, which of course takes place in Maui, with Dave Pasch and Bill Walton, comes out March 10th. James, how are you doing?
Oh, terrific. Thank you. That was an incredible introduction. It's an honor to be on the pod, guys. Really is. I'm doing fantastic. I'm just excited to get the word out about my book series, as you say, The Bill Walton Mysteries. Mm-hmm. Very excited. It's been a wild ride. A very specific idea that I had 2 years ago has now become two novels that I'm really proud of. And
I have to say, when I first heard about them, I thought there's no way that this is real. occasionally we'll talk about stuff on the podcast,
and then real things will happen in the world. Like there was a Lopez twin commercial where they were directing puppets. And I was like, did we dream that? And then it became anyway, the Bill Walton Mysteries feels like that to me.
Yeah, it could have been incepted by you guys, and I just picked up on the inspiration in the ether. You guys are Los Angelinos. We're right around, you know, it's all around here. Thank you. That's high praise.
So I guess my first question I have for you is probably everyone's first question, and it's why Bill Walton and why mysteries?
Well, I love Walton. I mean, he's just so enthusiastic about literally everything. I mean, but only a specific amount of things that he loves. You know, he's a real vibes guy. He really, like, if the vibes aren't right, he's not with it. I mean, anything. Walton would be just like a terrific real estate agent if he was selling anything. Glendale, the access to schools, nature, it's all there. You couldn't believe the walkability. If you go down Pomona Boulevard tonight, like he's like Mr. Enthusiastic. He seems like he's so genuinely him. He doesn't care about what is going on during the game. You know, he just will talk about the moons of Saturn for 6 minutes. And then Dave Pasch will have to be like in 54-55 here. Yeah. If we get back to the game. And I started listening to his broadcast, him and Pasch broadcast, like podcast. Like it was a live concert. It's like going to see the Grateful Dead. You know the songs. He's going to talk about the Pac-12. He's going to talk about the Missoula floods. He's going to talk about the Conference of Champions. He's going to talk about UCLA. He's going to talk about John Wooden. But you never know how it's going to come out. And it's always different and it's always entertaining. And I also always love mystery novels. I love Jack Reacher. I love Harry Bosch. I love long series. Yeah. And, you know, I was like, I wanted to write a mystery novel. And I wanted to find the perfect detective. And I kind of came to the conclusion that Walton is this extraordinary, you know, Sherlock Holmesian kind of guy. He also seems like the kind of guy that if his buddies were in trouble, he would go the extra mile.
Oh, absolutely.
And if that means tracking down biker gang, he's going to track down a biker gang. You know, he's going to get it done. And Dave Pasch is just kind of the Dr. Watson was so perfect. He's the perfect straight man. You know, I kind of created a fictional world where Bill Walton respects Dave Pasch. Most proud achievement.
I will say,
if you like Jack Reacher, Bill Walton is the one person whose physical dimensions seem to match what Jack Reacher is described as.
Right, exactly. Like NBA hands. Players are like those. Yeah, hit fists like frozen turkeys. Like this, you know, this larger than life figures are kind of why we love the NBA and why we love these superstars. And Walton was also just like, I'm a Portland guy, obviously. He got us our one championship in 77, you know, and he rode his bike to the games. He was also the most Portland dude ever. Like, you know, no one was more granola than Walton. And it was true. It was authentic. It wasn't putting on airs. And then him also matched up. He's always matched up with the kind of polar opposites. Like John Wooden was the kind of polar opposite of him. He's the squarest, most upright Midwestern dude. But somehow they both made each other great and better. It's just, yeah, I feel that kind of way when I listen to Walton and Pasch now. I'm like, these guys are so different. But what if they were solving mysteries? And then, yeah, that was my book.
So I have a question for you about Fire on the Mountain, the newest Bill Walton mystery. Takes place in Maui,
yes, the latest.
Right? And they're at the Maui Invitational. Now, there's one other weed-based NBA figure who lives in Maui named Don Nelson. Does his weed appear at all in Fire on the Mountain?
Guys, I said I wasn't going to do any leaks, any spoilers. I want people to read the book. But this particular question, I have to I'll just say ... winky face. Read the book. Not gonna say any more than that. It's an emoji. That's all I can give you. And maybe like a slightly smirk emoji too. Like, you know, that's it. That's it though. Nothing more.
So how many Bill Walton mysteries do you think you have in you? You're on number two.
Guys, I got 1,000 in me. I'm ready to go. The only thing is I need people to buy the book,
right,
so I can keep going. It's not like being a novelist is a challenging thing to embark upon. I'm finding out, but I'm embracing the challenge. I love the challenge. What is success? You know, is it plaques on the wall? Is it trophies? No, it's a satisfaction of knowing you did your best every day. That's John Wooden. That's the Conference of Champions. That's UCLA comeback basketball. Yeah. But yeah, so so please, I encourage all your listeners out there, if you're interested, this all entices you, go to Amazon right now and check it out, or on March 10th. But yeah, I have so many ideas. I mean, he could do anything. He could solve. He can go anywhere. Although we like keeping it to basketball tournaments, so it's
I was really thinking of like an insomnia style thing at the Great Alaskan Shootout. Dave Pasch can't sleep because it's bright all the time.
I actually had
Trajan Langdon could be a supporting character.
Oh my gosh, for the Great Alaskan Shootout, of course.
Frozen tundra. I actually have a spin-off pitch for you, too, which is the young Bill Walton Mysteries. That's him and Jamal Wilkes in Hardy Boys-style adventures, and every time they have to tell John Wooden about the mystery.
Yeah, he's like Fenton Hardy, the world's greatest detective.
Yeah.
They constantly... And it can be like more Encyclopedia Brown level crimes, like someone got a term paper stolen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Someone shaved someone's head without John Wooden's permission. Who did it?
So.
Yeah, that's actually amazing. I love those.
So the other thing I had.
Oh, my gosh. The Hardy Boys aspect.
So the other.
We've got to get back in the bus by 7 o'clock. Coach is gonna have a conniption. Don't worry, Jamal, we're just going to find the secret secret rock that I need to find for my rock collection.
So
gem hunting.
So the other question I had for you, so Bill Walton, you said you're into pulp detective novels, and anyone who's listened to this show knows that Sean and I are insane Bosch heads.
We really are. Yeah,
we love Bosch. So if Bill
I'm
Walton...
also
go ahead, Sean.
I think I'm maybe more into the Lincoln Lawyer too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know if you
both are great. Both are great, and they're related. I mean, it's his stepbrother, right?
Yeah,
they are. Also, the Lincoln Lawyer is totally a cop in those books. He just happens to also be a defense lawyer.
Right, but when he appears in the Bosch books, he's much more of a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then his own books, he's like, he's doing whatever. I mean, he's really just whatever it takes to get his clients off clean. You know, they didn't do it. I think he got way more McConaughey, didn't he?
Way more.
Yes. Yeah, so, like book three, once they've made the movies, it's like, yeah. He's really hanging out now.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically all righting, Your Honor. It's basically all right, Your Honor, the whole time.
There's a point where he quits drinking in the books, and then after the movie comes out, they're like, this guy doesn't work with a sober Lincoln Lawyer anymore.
Yeah, he's doing ads for Wild Turkey and Lincoln in real life, he has to be.
The biggest difference between the Lincoln Lawyer and Bosch is, and it's such an LA reference, is that the Lincoln Lawyer's favorite restaurant is Dan Tana's, and Bosch's favorite restaurant is Musso and Frank.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he just loves old LA. He loves it.
But
I took I was watching a 4-year-old, and I took him to get pancakes at DuPar's as a tribute to the Lincoln Lawyer recently.
It's always the worst food. Yeah, they always are so specific with the LA food, and you're always like, why there?
Pars is not good.
I read a Bosch book once where one of the key points was that a guy knew cops were tailing him because the cops were eating Okie Dog. And they were like, that's so far away from where we are. They must have followed me from the west side.
He just loves those Okie Dogs. Bosch, I love. And, you know, his motto is just like, it, you know it's coming and it works every time. It's like Reacher beating people up. up when he goes, you know, everyone matters or no one matters, chills every time. Yeah. Right. So I still wanted the Bill Walton mysteries to have moments like that and be serious about the mystery, because I respect Michael Connelly's craft so much, and the way he crafts all of his plots is so intricate, and everything ties together so nicely. Well, he hides things like, you know, sometimes he hides things like way too well. You're like, no one, this is just, we can't know this stuff.
Well, my question was going to be, so if Walton is basketball's Holmes, who is basketball's Bosch?
Mm. Ooh.
It's not Barkley, because Barkley's too much of a clown, I think.
Yeah. Well, gotta have tattoos.
Because Bosch isn't really a genius as much as he's just relentless.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's like, he's a lot closer to like a Michael Jordan or a Russell Westbrook.
I was thinking Kobe.
Oh, well, yeah. He's kind of, oh, and all about, he's a symbol of Angeles.
LA, right.
Yeah, yeah, he's a symbol of LA.
Had some marital troubles. Ultimately,
right. Got life. Some tattoos after some marital troubles. yeah, I think that might has the overlooks the city, kind of like a Batman over Gotham City. You know, when he's having his scotch and his cigarette at night.
I think that makes Pau Gasol the Lincoln lawyer.
Right.
Oh my god. Yeah, absolutely.
He's conducting business from like a neurology ward for some reason.
Derek Fisher is his driver or whatever.
He owes Kobe a lot, so he's got to work off that debt.
He owes him rings, so I got to do what I can.
So the other thing I wanted to ask you is, okay, so you're writing mysteries.
Yeah.
When you're figuring out the mystery, the, like a Bill Walton mystery, are you coming up with the mystery first, or the where you want, like, the Bill Walton character-y stuff, and then building the mystery out of that?
Yeah, I think it's got to start with, it has to start with the mystery, because Walton, we know, once Walton's a constant, even though he's a chaotic constant, he's a constant. Like, he's going to react the same in any environment that you put him in. He's kind of always going to be really chill about it, you know? It's like, but we wanted the mystery to really sink in. I wanted to have real bites and turns, so that's all got to be beaten out really carefully, and then we kind of plop, you know, Walton in. But it's a lot of Dave Pasch as well, I have to say. Like, you know, the stories kind of are about the evolution of Pasch. Like Dr. Watson gets changed by being around the great man, so does Pasch as he absorbs Walton's lessons of life and they, you know, track down the real the real bad guys. So yeah, I think that's a great question though, because it is kind of a dance, because you want to have Walton be in situations that he was able to be the most Walton. But the secret is he's always the most Walton. Mm-hmm. He can't turn it off.
Now, do you know if Bill Walton is aware of the Bill Walton mysteries?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I know a guy who went and we sent him the books, of course, through his people, and I know a guy who went and got book one, Friend of the Devil, signed by him. The guy was like, at an event in Portland, and the guy was like, hey Bill, have you heard about these books where you solve mysteries? And as Bill's signing, he goes, I've heard rumblings. That's all I got. That's all we, you know, he's got a guy, he does his own thing, and we haven't heard from him, you know. He hasn't gotten in touch, but he would love him to get involved in some way or not, because it is kind of a sci-fi alternative dimension where in book one, the Pac-12 tournament takes place in Seattle. So there's slightly different things that are going on in this world. Everything else is fictional.
Well, in this world, is Jerry Garcia alive?
Oof. Yes. Always. Always. Where can he go? He's back to the one song, one dream, one vibration. One shot. How are you going to take it? What kind of shot can you get? You've got one possession. Generate the offense. Throw it down. Yeah, I mean, it, you know what? It's really just, I just love that you guys are responding to it, because it is like there's a basketball Venn diagram of people who would love this book, and you guys are right in the middle of it. And so I'm glad, and hopefully your readers are too, and listeners. but you guys should write. You guys should write books too. I think we should write the young Bill Walton ones. To talk after the
podcast. All right. There's one last thing Sean and I wanted to do before we let you go, and I think while we're putting people into, while we're putting basketball commentators into genre fiction, I think we should try and beat out a couple of the NBA luminaries. So, Sean, why don't you go first? What genre fiction would you like to see Jeff Van Gundy star in?
Oh, okay. Well, is he with Mark Jackson and Mike Breen?
Let's
get it. Can I pitch one that I have?
Actually? Yes, yeah, sure. Please.
Reggie Miller, along with Marv Albert, in a real Michael Crichton style 90s, like, erotic thriller.
Oh, an erotic techno, you know what I mean?
Like,
thriller?
Like the kind of thing Michael Douglas would have made in 1994.
Like Disclosure?
Yeah, like Disclosure, where, like, Reggie Miller's, like, maybe, like, a corporate investigator, and somehow to get through this mystery, he needs to have, like, to solve this mystery, he needs to have, like, four different sexual encounters throughout the book. And he's just incredulous the whole time. And Marv is, like, his supervisor, who's, you know,
has to
warning
watch
him, because, like, he's the cautionary tale, and Reggie just can't listen because he's more horny than he is ready to you know, discover that the Japanese are sabotaging this company.
Yeah, I like that. AI is involved too. Somehow.
Yeah, yeah. It's like there's virtual reality for no reason.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's got to step into a virtual sexual world for some reason that no one can explain, but it's right in the second act.
Yeah. Reggie's constantly, like, ripping off a pair of warm-up pants because the sex is so dramatic.
Yeah. Like Michael Crichton directed by Spike Lee, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, 100%. So I have one for – this is a weird guy I picked. But I would like to see PJ Carlesimo in a – like a Philip K. Dick-esque, like, sci-fi cyberpunk thing where he lives in a dystopian future where no one is putting mustard on their passes, and he's just attacking a world full of Latrell Sprewells.
Oh my God. I love, I do have a funny PJ Carlesimo story of, last year when book one was coming out, I was in Vegas trying to get the book to Dave Pash after he was covering the Pac-12 tournament. And yes, I had a couple of beverages, and it was like his people, Pash's people were like, go down to the, you know, just hand him the book. Just walk down and hand him the book between games. And I was like, oh, great. And I walked down and I was like, Pash. I tried to point him to the book. And he was like, yay. Wearing a t-shirt said the Bill Walton Mysteries, tie-dye, of course. And I step over maybe the wrong rope that I shouldn't have. And all of a sudden, I'm like right behind PJ Carlesimo. And I'm like, Pash, here's the book. I'm like handing it over PJ Carlesimo, not realizing he was still broadcasting on the air for radio. And he's like, what the? And he kind of like covers his microphone and he gestures for like dudes in suits who quickly move upon me and escort me out of the Vegas arena. And I'm like, Pash, no, the book. And Pash, who could have stopped them, knowing what we were full well what we were doing, looked at us and then looked away. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep writing mystery books about you. But in that moment, I understood Latrell Sprewell more than ever before. I saw how you, this guy is. I can see people not liking him. That's my PJ Carlesimo story. I do have a pitch for Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, Mike Breen.
I love it. Oh, yeah. All right, let's hear it.
Okay. It's a breezy heist movie. They've got to break into Madison Square Garden. because there's some kind of, maybe we could tie in like some uncut gems, I don't know, magical gemstone that gives players powers. The thing I hated most about that movie. They've got to sneak in. Problem is that it's 1998, let's say. Got to give it a random year, like Uncut Gems, for no reason. And then it's the Bulls, and they're in Madison Square Garden, and Michael Jordan won't have anything to do with it. They've got to somehow steal something from like the 98 Bulls. And of course, Zen Master is the villain. He's got it. He's like the Andy Garcia. Phil Jackson's the Andy Garcia. Kind of. He was bad for a variety of reasons, but it always seems good because he's Buddhist. But that's just the cover.
But they've got to get the exclusive Nikes or whatever from the locker room.
Yes. Yeah. The MacGuffin we can work on. Absolutely. I like that. We'll go. We'll add a Phil Knight area to maybe Phil Knight's the real power behind the throne. The real shadowy dark character. I don't know why he's bad.
See, I had a pitch for the Inside the NBA crew.
Oh, okay.
And it's it's actually a play. It's a one-act play where they are locked in a bar. There's a snowstorm outside, and they are locked in a bar waiting for Shaquille O'Neal to show up. And he never shows.
Waiting for Shaquille.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's beautiful. That is beautiful. Although that is inspired. I thought you were going to say was going to be like a Tarantino-esque. They're all locked in a snowy cabin.
Yeah.
And one of them has betrayed the others in some way.
Yeah. Well, we know who the betrayer is in that group. Let's be honest.
Rachel Nichols walks in and she's like wounded.
Yeah.
It's Kenny Smith.
What happened?
Kenny Smith is the betrayer in that
I thought
group.
It would be Ernie Johnson. His betrayal is his write-in vote for John Kasich.
How dare you? It was you. It was you.
I'd also like to see the Van Gundy brothers in some kind of like Lord of the Rings type quest.
I thought the same thing. That's where I was leading with the Van Gundys too.
Yeah, they're transported into a magical realm and they're just complaining about everything the entire time. It's a unicorn. The horn's useless.
And
all their this road, you know, this road keeps going. I'm not down. Stan does look like a hobbit, for real, like a big hobbit.
And Pat Riley is the Gandalf figure in that story.
Right. Pat the White. Riley the White.
Yeah, Pat. Riley the White is L.A. Riley. Riley the Black is everyone else. Every other Riley. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. James, that's been our show, our interview. Please,
suits.
Plug Sean, the Bill Joey. Walton Mysteries.
Plug away.
Oh, guys, thank you. It's just, you know, please buy this book. I love it. It's great. It's funny. It doesn't take itself seriously, but it is a serious mystery book. Like, I truly love Bosch and Reacher too much to not go full ham in the paint on the mystery, but it's obviously funny because it's Walton and Bash. Mm-hmm. Please buy it so I can write 1,000 more. It's what I want to do with my life, but I need people to buy it. And if you're in Portland on the 14th, come to the Rose City Book Pub, have a beer and buy a book. I'm going to be in person doing a reading there. Buy 10 books and online, tell your friends. And thank you, gentlemen, so much. It's been a really honor and a pleasure.
Thank you, Joey James. And it just occurred to me as you were saying that we picked an NBA Bosch, but I think it's pretty clear who the NBA Reacher is, and that is Charles Oakley.
Absolutely, Oak. He's even got the nickname Oak. Come on. Yeah, if Oakley was a military policeman whose superpower is waking up on time.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy that Reacher's one superpower is never needing an alarm clock? Like, what? Like, oh, I got to wake up at 6:45. I'm up 6:45. It's like, okay, cool, man. We have alarm clocks.
Well, I mean, that's clearly why Jordan keeps Oakley around, because he can wake him up out of his tequila hangover. No Mike, problem.
Mike, we got to go. We got to check out. Check out time, Mike. Let's go. One more hand. No, Mike. We got to go. Let's wrap this up. I can beat him. I know you can, Mike. Gotta go. Another game to play.
Thanks a lot, James. Everyone go see his reading in Portland. Buy the Bill Walton Mysteries. Buy them both, in fact. Fire on the Mountain, March 10th. Friend of the Devil, out now. And hey, if you know Bill Walton, hook these two up. We need a Walton on Walton in the New York Book Review.
It's 2020. Let's make it happen. Anything can happen. Anything is possible. Let's dream the future. Live the dream. Here we are. Let's go, Pac-12.
What an interview. Once again, by the Bill Walton Mysteries. We need more of those. More importantly, we need what I pitched him, which is the Young Bill Walton Mysteries.
Yes.
The Hardy Boys style mysteries with Jamal Wilkes. You heard the interview. Sean, is there anything you would like to plug?
You can read some stuff on Yardbarker. There's a thing about the Warriors, what they should do in free agency. I also wrote something about the weirdness of the Houston Rockets, which I'm sure will be it's very sympathetic. It's my favorite NBA team.
And then as for me, I'm on the second part of the 100th episode of the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast this week. I was on the first part last week. We watched VH1, the first two editions of VH1's Divas. It's really funny. It's really fun. I love Who Cares About the Rock Hall. And you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on March 9th I tweeted, "It's weird that the hardest thing to find in stores these days is toilet paper. Like, of all the things you could be prepared with, TP is your biggest concern?" Which he's right, because if you're Frankie Muniz, your biggest concern is getting the antidote to scorpion stings. So I get that
That's the most important thing.
Sean, did you write?
Oh my god! If anyone in this country should self quarantine, it is Frankie Muniz. I'm not even sure his immune system is compromised, but like his luck,
body, his life is compromised. Sean, did you write a song?
I did. It's actually about Carl Anthony Towns, but it's a Justin Bieber song, and it's called "Kevin Love Yourself."
All right, we're listening to that right now. Thank you again, James Kirkland. Thank you again, Dave Dufour. Thank you to everyone who's listening. And trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Wash your damn hands, you filthy animals.
Fucking pigs.
For all the times that you lost track of your man, and all the games you missed when you hurt your hand, the broke you and Wiggins apart sent him to Golden State. You sat for 4 years, but you could demand a trade. And maybe you're a superstar, but your defense sucks, so you have a bad point differential. You still got potential, and they could find another coach, but you didn't get any better after Coach Thibodeau was gone. Still scared of test Gibson. Flipside just didn't like you, and he likes everyone. And this Wolves roster was ruined by David Kahn. I thought your D would be alright. Didn't know you'd play Fortnite, but now I know. You're never sleeping until dawn, cause if you ain't playing for the Wolves that much, then Carl, you should Kevin love yourself. And if you think D'Angelo's not helping things, then you should Kevin love yourself. All those games where you didn't give a fuck, and that song when Jimmy made you a cuck. There were games where your jumper looked nice, But you look lost every time Tibbs would yell ice. And maybe you could ask a son, but he doesn't want anyone thinking he's not the head honcho. You could play with Wancho. This team can't run anyone. No one can play defense aside from Josh Okogie. The Taylor's an old fogey. Flip's artist didn't like you and he likes everyone. And this Wolves roster was run by David Collin. I thought your D would be alright. Didn't know you'd play for that, but now I know. You never sleep until dawn, cause if you ain't playing for the Wolves that much, then Carl, you should have enough yourself. And if you think D'Angelo's not helping things, then you should have enough yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, the trumpet stylings of Jared Culver.
Got the talent to always be our league, but you really hated playing with Jeff Teague. You're always sulking, your face has a frown. Shouldn't have sent Ricky Rubio out of town. Cause if you hate playing for the Wolves that much, then Carl, you should care and love yourself. And if you think D'Angelo's not helping things, then you should care and love yourself. Cause if you hate playing for the Wolves that much, then Carl, you should care and love yourself. And if you think D'Angelo's not helping things, then you should care and love yourself.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.